so good. Come on, all the adults, watch this, watch this. All the adults can have a seat, but I need all the teenagers to remain standing, please. From 7th to 12th grade up to 18. From 7th grade up to 18. This is just one of those moments that we had in the first service that was not planned on, but it's that sense where it carries over into the second service. Because I don't want you to miss out on something that God had planned for the teenagers of this church. That's one day it'd be great to have one huge, enormous building to fit everybody in one service. But this is the deal, man. God just did something amazing in the first service. And I love it because I'm like looking around in the first service. I sit in the front row and I don't have the privilege to see anybody behind me. But in the first service, these teenagers that were over here to my right, they caught my eye because you had this group of girls who were just going for it in worship and just hit me. And then I'm looking in this second service, and you see, I mean, look at the front rows. We've got teenagers in the front row of the church going for it in worship and hands raised and just. But there's a word with this. And I'm telling you, just in this sense of what's taking place in this place, I just want to speak to the teenagers. And this is just, we're going to preach short today because this is part of the message and this is part of our time. And I want every teenager in this place to understand this, man. You got to get this because I believe that your time is now. Your time isn't when you get older. Your time isn't when you graduate high school. Your time isn't in college. Your time isn't, well, my time to come is when I get into a place of marriage and having kids. That's my time. My time is when I become an adult. I don't believe that is absolute. We never have believed that. I believe your time is now in a place of your generation that you're the ones. Get this. Watch this. You're the ones in the front row. You're the ones with hands raised high. You're the ones that are just going for it in Jesus' name. You're the ones who recognized that I was lost, but now I'm found. You're the one who recognized, man, even in this place, around my peers, even in this place, anywhere that I go, I can be called to be light. And amazing that everywhere you go, you can be salt and light. There's no age on that, young person. You got to understand that, young adult. There's not an age on that. If you were 12, you walk into a baseball field, you can be the light to that field. If you were 18, you walk into the grocery store, you can be the light to that grocery store. Come on, get this. Come on, hear this. That you come to a place that you would understand. My time is not later. My time is now. This is my time to make an impact. This is my time that I'm called to be light. This is my time that I'm called to be salt. This is my time that the enemy, listen, he will try to take you out early. He will try to get you in a place of depression. He will try to get you on drugs and alcohol. He will try to get you to be sexually immoral. That's what he will try to do. He will try to derail you, and he will try to come to this place to try to defeat you. But please hear this. That if you are in Christ, he cannot defeat you, for no weapon formed against you will prosper. Now watch. Please hear this. Listen, he will do everything that he can to try to defeat you, but he cannot. But this is what he can do. He can distract you. He can get you to think your time is later. He can put things and present things to you that are not of a godly nature to try to get you off rail, to try to get you to depart from the things of God, even though God will never let you go. God says, what's in my hand, I will never release. God says, when I act, who can release it? Please know this. The enemy will come and he will try and everything in his power to get you to be distracted. But I want this word. Woo! Did you hear this? Teenager, hear this, because this is what I believe. What the word is for God for you this morning, that you would get this. Don't miss us. Don't miss us. 2 Timothy 1. And as I'm watching teenagers in this place today, honestly, this is the verse that just kept pounding my heart this morning. You're in a place and you just see something, automatically a verse just comes to your spirit and just begins to speak to your spirit. Well, this is that verse. He says this, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. Yeah, but Sean, I'm 12. Please find me a verse in the scripture that says this is for 18 and above. Not. Listen, this is a community expects from our teenagers. This is a community that we expect, in a sense, that you would own up to who you are in Christ at 12. You don't get a pass to say, I'm 12. No. The Bible says this, that God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity. That doesn't mean that we take a step back. That doesn't mean that we walk in this place of shame because we understand who Christ is and who's alive. No, 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 no. God has not given you. What if you're 16, 17, 18? You're coming into your own. And you walk in this place saying, listen. No, I will not be ashamed. I will not be afraid. God has not given me a spirit of timidity. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of discipline. Watch this. God says, listen, that fear that you have, that feeling of shame, that's not for me. I haven't given you that spirit of fear. That's the enemy trying to distract you. That's the enemy trying to get you off course. No, I've given you a spirit of power. I've given you a spirit of a sound mind and discipline. Watch this. I love this. This is what it says. Therefore, because I understand that I'm not called to fear. I'm not called to be timid. I'm not called to be shy. What's the opposite of that? I'm called to walk in courage. I'm called to walk in boldness. I'm called to walk in power. I love this. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same spirit, is the same power that reigns in you at 12, at 13, at 14, at 15, at 16. Come on. Watch this, is what it says. Because I get this, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of his prisoners. Join with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. What happens when you take your stand and you get joked on? What happens when you take your stand and say, listen, I'm a believer. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe that that is wrong. I'm not going to walk in that sin. I'm not going to walk in depression. I'm not going to walk in drugs. I am not going there in the bedroom. That is not for me. What happens if you're the only one? What happens if you're the only one to say no? Bible says this, listen, that we're not going to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, because in that there will be those moments. There'll be those moments on the baseball field with all the boys. There'll be those moments in the classroom. There'll be moments, whatever you're involved in. They may look at you funny and they may not include you and they may call you all kind of names, but in this sense, you're called. Say, I'm not going to shy away. No, I'm not called to take a step back. I'm not called to walk in shame who I am in Christ. No, I am the salt. I am the light. And I have the Spirit of God in me. And in that I have what the Bible says is power. And there is a word called dunamis, and it means something that is explosive. It's something that is powerful. And man, when you get this, young person, when you understand what this means, that the Holy Spirit, who is at times exploding with all kinds of power within you, in that you shall not be ashamed. Come on, give a praise. Yes. Yes. Is going to reach your generation. You're the generation that's going to reach even your teachers who don't know Christ. You're the generation, I say this, that may even reach your own parents. They see something so real in you in Christ. You might, please hear this, you might be the one at 13 years old that turns your parents' marriage around. You might be the one stand so strong in this school or wherever you're at in your sporting events, whether it be the soccer field, the baseball field, the volleyball court, wherever you're at, you might be the one that maybe someone's talking behind your back today, but tomorrow they're looking at you, calling you, going, what gives? What is it? There's something about you. What is it? Well, I'm not going to shy away from the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it's Christ in me. And the hope of glory is Him in me by His Spirit. Man, I want to just, I'm telling you, man, let's pray over this generation. I don't mind about how much time this is taking, because this is church, church. This is what it is to see God do a work in the midst of His presence. Come on. Your heads, and if you're a parent, I need you to lay hands on your teen. If you're a youth leader in this place, find a group. If you're just teens, gather with teens, because we're just going to cover our teenagers to believe that you're not the later, you're the now, and God has not given you a spirit of fear. I just ask that you would just, you ask yourself, what is it that I'm afraid of? Afraid of people's opinions? Am I afraid about standing alone? Am I afraid about what people think? Am I afraid? What is it? I'm afraid that I would make my stand and no one would respond. What is it that you're afraid of? As Paul tells Timothy here, and there's no age attached to this, that you do not have a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. But we look at this picture. Right now, God, we look at this picture. We just see teenagers with teenagers. We see adults laying hands on this generation. God, we look at this today in this service and say, God, this is your work. These children belong to you. These teenagers, these young adults, they belong to you. God, these are the ones that can make a difference. God, by your Spirit, there's no fear, but there's power, and there's love, and there's discipline. And God, in all of that, they come to a place that I will not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus. I will not be ashamed of my King on a cross. That is my belief, and I'm not ashamed of it. That is my faith, and I'm not ashamed of it. And in all of that, I would be the example to every single person who is around me. I'll be example to my peers. I'll be example to my parents. I'll be example to the adults. I'll be example to the coach. I'll be the example. I'm the generation that walks in salt and light. I'm the generation that makes a difference. I will not be defeated. The enemy, you cannot distract me. I am targeted in Jesus' name, and I will follow hard after Christ, and I will worship with everything in me. I'll go for it. I'll go for you, God, that you would move, even if it means persecution, even if it means suffering. God, I will follow hard after you. I have not been given a spirit of fear. No, no, no. But power and love and a sound mind. That's who I'm called to be, and that's who I am. In Jesus' name. Come on, Oliver. Give him praise, church. Yes. Woo. Come on, we're going to worship. We're going to worship. Stand up to your feet. Come on, we're going to finish this. a seat. I want to show you one last picture. This was a group of teenagers right after the first service. It just blows you away. If we have it, that's a group of teens that they're just like, okay, good, let's do something about it. And they just gathered and they just had their own little private little prayer meeting. And you see that, you're just like, oh, I'm taking a shot. I asked, do you mind if I use this? Because it's so good. What happens when you get it, man? I love that. Oh, did you see my sign? That my man Harrison got me that. He handed it to me after the first service. I'm like, Harrison, I know, right? Right? But I got to honor my man. And I said, and he's Harrison's this big. I said, dude, are you a Steelers fan? He says, yes. I'm like, listen, parents, if you're, go with it. If your kids are turning the corner to come to God's team, let them be spiritual for crying out loud, right? Amen. I love that. That's awesome. Whoop. Thank you. Harrison rocks. My little man. He was so good. I love church. BC, I love church. We got a few minutes. Brennan, give me an extra 5 before we come out, would you? Just give me 15. 10, 15 would be great. 11, 12, 15, whatever that is. We're going to go for a minute. Come on, show me 2 places. And today's message is He Hears Me. And we're in this new series called When God Leans In. Oh, I love what's happening here. I love when God just moves like that. And you got to catch that moment. You know, we don't do something like that in every service. I like my time to preach, but when something like that happens, you give it to God and say, God, you move in this. I love it. So we got short time, so we're going to cruise. We're going to get to a place, pick it up next week. We're going to be in this conversation on prayer for a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. I think that it's a pillar of who we are in our faith. And I'm not talking about the God, thank you for my Cheerios. See you tomorrow morning. I talk about that. I'm talking about a conversation with God that we have day after day after day. I am talking about what it is to walk in a relationship, not in that sense of religion, not in the do's and don'ts. Oh, I have to pray again because it's what you're supposed to do. But it is that function of a relationship. Listen, if you're married in this place, how horrible would it be if you're married and you have no communication? It is the top. Watch this. We're going to get into a marriage series here soon, so I can't get on it too much. But communication is the absolute top of every relationship. Every relationship, it has to do with communication. You know what prayer is? It's communication. My time and my specific focused time is in the morning on my face before the Lord when I get up and just spend some time crying out to Him. In prayer and in worship, and worship is a part of prayer. And just you look at the dynamic of what it is to understand the power of prayer. Sean, I've just been walking in this thing called faith for just a short time. What do you mean? How do you talk to God whom you don't see? But it is God who reigns within, and you communicate with Him. And I love this. Watch this. Matthew 8 says, listen, God knows what you need before you even ask of Him. So why do I need to pray? Because it has everything to do with the relationship and has everything to do with you going before God and communicating to Him and you pressing in to Him, walking by faith. So, God, this is where I'm at and this is what the things going on in my life and this is what's going on in people around me. And, God, I need you to move in this. And you are just presenting yourself to God. And the most amazing part of all of this, the God of all power, might, the God of all creation, the Bible says that He actually, watch this, He actually leans in. That because He didn't hear you the first time? Listen, what is it when God knows your thoughts before you ever speak? He knows what you're going to speak. He knows the very things that you think about. But there's that moment in that time of crying out to Him that He shows us. I'm interested, Sean, in what you have to say. You see, I already know what you're going to say. But I want you to know. And I'm leaning in. And the word inclined, it means to bow down or to lean in. And it's in that sense of showing interest that I would know that He is interested in what I have to say. The Creator of the universe, the one who would send His Son to die on a cross for me, is interested in what I have to say. We're going to see through this series about the things that hinder our prayers. And what that really looks like, and to clear the road and the things that get in the way of us trying to cry out to God. We're going to look at next week. We're going to get into when prayer equals peace, and you understand in Philippians 4, we're going to close with that. You come to a place to understand, how is it that I can have just a peace that surpasses all understanding? Well, biblically, it comes through our time of prayer, and you're going to see the importance of what it is that prayer must be, church. It must be a priority. It must be in our relationship. And me and David Hearn, I've worked with David Hearn for many years now. He's on our board. I've talked about him often, Heritage of Flame Ministries. And just, there was something many years ago that he would come to me and say, Sean, do I find you praying? Or he'd call me out of the blue. Not just in the morning time when he knows this is my time with the Lord, but it's afternoon or even evening. Sean, do I find you praying? Am I allowed to lie to my boss, to my pastor? Like, actually not really praying at this moment, but it's and I was just even driving this week, and that was brought back to my attention. And I called him, and we had a great laugh, and just, but what happens when we come to that realization that we are to pray without ceasing, that it's something that is this communication with God, and there is those moments that are on our face and on our knees in a posture of obedience and a posture of reverence. But then there's just moments driving the car, and there's moments of worship, which is prayer. There's moments of just in that second of God, help me. There's those, and it's that sense of that continuation of not just God, thank you for my Captain Crunch. Just so you know, I love Captain Crunch. If you're going to buy me anything, Captain Crunch and Steeler gear. Perfect. But it's past that, man. It's beyond that. It's that sense of, do I find you praying? Come on, let's ask God to move. Father, I just, God, help me to communicate this in real time, in just short time that we have. God, help us to come to this place that you would, you've already moved in such a great way. We're so blessed by you, God. Thank you. But this moment, speak to us again. Speak to us from your word today on prayer and our communication to you. Help us to see what this really looks like. Jesus, you teach this today. You've taught this already. You've taught this to disciples. But let me just remind us on what you've already taught in regards to prayer. And God, I just ask that you would speak to us today. Church, ask God to speak to you in this moment. God, speak to me to walk out different. And God, as a congregation, we ask that this is an amazing week, as Thursday night is draft night. God, bless the Steelers and the GM to make the right decisions in Jesus' name. Amen. Parking spot is for Steelers. Come on. We are asking for wisdom, and we want them to have great discernment to see the future on some of these players. Come on, good stuff. Turn with me in a couple places, please. We're going to start. I'm going to read from Psalm 116. It'll be up on the screen, so you don't have to turn there. But turn to Luke 18. Maybe we'll get to 1 Kings 18, but maybe I'll just tell the story because I love the truth and stories. This is where this whole series comes from. There's so many places in the scripture when we see that the word inclined, or we see the word leans in, when God understands what it is that he leans in, or he inclines his ear to us. He shows such an interest in what we have to say when we cry out to the Father. And Psalm 116 is a great verse, kind of our theme verse for this series. And it says this: I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. I love the Lord. There's so much that we can add. This is why I love the Lord. We go down a very long list. But I love the psalmist here. He says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplication. I love the Lord because I know, man, I'm confident. I am sure that when I begin to cry out to him, that he hears me, and I'm amazed by that. And I love the Lord because I know that when I lift my voice up, he leans in. When I begin to cry out to him, he shows an interest in what I have to say. It should drive us to want to cry out more. It should drive us to want to have communication with him. It should drive us to want to pray and have that sense of just talking to God and really walking in that sense. I love you because I know that you hear my prayer and my supplication. And there's a difference between prayer and supplication. We'll get to that. Because he has inclined his ear to me, because he has leaned in, because he has bowed down, because he has shown an interest in me. But I think so many times it gets lost, church, that we just come to a place and we get so in the rut and so in the groove of we get up, we do our prayers, and we cry out to God and we move on, and then we meet him again 24 hours later. And we can just get into this system that's just whoop, 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 and we just do it again. All right, let's pray over this. Let's do this again. And it's the loss, watch this now, it's the loss of heart. And it becomes just kind of robotic. But what happens if you actually got this picture of when you're praying that God is leaning over the throne because he wants to hear what you have to say? I hope that changes our time of prayer. And we look at this parable in the New Testament in Luke 18. It's a great picture. And I love this because it's a picture where Jesus tells this story of this widow. He goes before a judge, and this widow goes before this judge. This judge has nothing to do with this widow, doesn't give a rip about this widow. He absolutely doesn't have a fear of God, so he's not worried about justice at all. And Jesus says, okay, a parable is a picture, and there's a point to every parable. And Jesus says, listen, watch this. Disciples, this is the point to prayer. I want you to see this. Watch this. Luke 18, verse 1. Come on, watch this now. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they may pray. At all means all. It means at all times. When I'm going through the most difficult season, pray. When I'm on the highest season, pray. When I'm in between, pray. Listen, I love this because there's not a moment, like there's not that moment to say, God says, well, in this, you need to pray more. Well, in this, you just, no, he says, I love this. He says, listen, this is to show you, this is the prayer life that Jesus is talking about. At all times, we're supposed to pray. Watch this now. This is a big idea. He says, and do not lose heart. How many times do we pray and get nothing? How many times do we cry out to God and we get nothing and we just begin to get discouraged? I love this because this is a parable on discouragement. This is a parable on when we pray, nothing happens. When we pray, have you ever been to that place and said, God, are you even listening? God, come on. The bald guy told me that you lean in when I begin to pray. Is that even true? God, where are you in this? God, what's happening in this? And I love that Jesus pulls his disciples aside. He says, guys, listen, this is the deal. When you pray, you're supposed to pray at every season in your life. You're supposed to pray at all times. But yet, when you pray, don't lose heart. Even if you've got to come back and pray again. Even if you got to come back and hit it again. Even if you got to come back and pray again. Because he goes into this amazing parable. This is a story that he tells to make the point. Pray and pray again. Pray and pray again. And now watch this. And please don't make the mistake of equating Jesus with the judge, because that's not the case. Watch this. And saying, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming. She continued to come over and over and over. There was this persistency to this woman. She would come to the judge and saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. Look at, here's this widow. She didn't have protection. Apparently, she didn't have a son. It's not a true story. This is a story that Jesus told. But when they say widow who doesn't have protection, that means she probably didn't have any male figure or any sons in her life that would have been able to protect her. So he's setting up the story in their time. And she's like, listen, there's one who's coming against me and I need protection. I have no one around me to protect me. You see, I can just picture this woman. She's walking before the judge. The judge is up high, as most judges are. And she's walking in saying, hey, can I have some help? Now watch this. Watch this. And for a while, he was unwilling. Hey, I have to keep coming. Hey, I need that legal protection. Woman, I got nothing for you. You need to go. We need to get on the next case. And she come back, next court. Listen, can I see the judge again? I need to talk to the judge. Judge, listen, I'm a widow. I've got nothing. I need legal protection from my opponent, man. Come on again. Nope, I got nothing for you. And she come back again. Hey, I need help. Can you? And this is Jesus' parable. And over and over and over, this woman would be persistent. And she would come. And she'd ask for legal protection. And she asked. And the judge said, no, man, would you please stop? You're just going to wear me out. That's what he says. And finally, he grants this widow her protection that she needed. Now listen, please. Jesus isn't the judge. Jesus isn't one who disrespects man. Jesus isn't one who doesn't fear God. Jesus isn't one, watch this. Jesus is not one that you're ever gonna wear out. But in this story, you see Jesus is making the one point. Most parables have a point. Some have many points. This one has one point. Say, listen, you are to be continuous in your prayer, and you come again, and you come again, and you come again, and you come again. And in your coming, watch this now. He says, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Because how many times can prayer be discouraging? Can it be one of those things that's just discouraging? God, I've asked you for this. God, I need this. God, I'm in trouble. God, help me in this. God, I just... God's like, just keep coming. Just keep coming. But in that sense of you just keep coming, don't lose heart. In that sense of you coming, just know that when you cry out to me, man, I give you my ear. When you cry, I know what you've said. I already know what you need before you ask, but I need you to come, and I need you to come again, and I need you to come back. But the one thing in doing all of this, the big idea is this, but don't lose heart. Know that I've heard you. Know that I'm leaning in. Know that I'm with you. Know that I've heard you the first time, but I need you to come back. I heard you the second time, but I need you to come back. And what's it look like when you come to this place to enter into just not allowing discouragement to come in, but really walking by the truth of God's word? Say, man, this is my time to pray. This is what it is that I can be confident that he hears me. I may not have the answer yet, but he hears me. I'm going back again to ask him because I know he's heard me a second time. Ain't got my answer yet, but I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going back a third time because I ain't got my answer yet, but I know that he heard me. I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going back again the fourth time. I know that he's heard me, but I'm not going to lose heart. Don't got my answer yet. What happens when you take Jesus' teaching here on prayer? Say at all times, pray. But don't lose heart. See, we're called to be like the widow who goes and goes again and goes again and goes again and goes again and not lose heart. Come on, I'll show you this. We have time. Turn to 1 Corinthians, or 1 Kings, please. This is a great story. Great story. This is Elijah. You can turn there, you can read along with me, but I'm just gonna cruise here because my keyboard's gonna start in 2 minutes, and we're just gonna come to this place. To look at the idea of he hears me. What happens when you believe that? What happens when you come to this place to know, man, and everything he hears me? He hears me. I'm going to come back again because he hears me. You see, in 1 Kings 17, you got Elijah. Elijah's a big deal, man. He's a bigwig in the Old Testament. He's one of the major prophets. God used him in many, many, many. Don't have time to get in all the ways that God used him. He's a powerhouse from the Old Testament scriptures. He's a major prophet from scripture. And God said, listen, Elijah, this is the deal. You go tell him that it's not going to rain until you say it's going to rain. So Elijah shows up and says, it's not going to rain. 1 Kings 17, verse 1, it's not going to rain until I come back and say it's going to rain. It was a three-year period. Church, can I ask you, how would your garden be in 3 years in a drought, not even dew on the ground? It was dry bone for over 3 years. It probably would not go well for us. So it was dry, not even dew, the Bible says, for over a three-year period. And then Elijah shows up. You've heard the story many times. You've got the 450 prophets of Baal. You've got Jezebel's prophetess, and they came, and they all worshiped false gods, and they were just really horrible people who were trying to come against the things of God. And Elijah says, okay, this is the deal. And they don't like Elijah because they know that the drought was on him. They know that God said to you, until you speak, it's just going to be dry. Elijah's been 3 years. Listen, I don't believe in your God. I believe in our God. Elijah says, great, let's put him to the test. And you see where Elijah says, you do what you do with the altar, put the meat on. Let's see, you cry out to your God, and they cry out, nothing happens because they cry out to dead false gods who have no life or breath because they're just idols. And all of a sudden he says, okay, great, put it aside, my time. God, show up. Wham! It works. We're good. We buy quality stuff. I couldn't time that better. That was good stuff right there. Woo! That might have been what it sounded like. But anyways, here we go. So he cries out, and then God shows up and blows everything up and fire from heaven. And then you see in 1 Kings 18, verse 40, it says all those prophets of Baal, Boaz, Elijah said, just take him out, slay him, like kill him. And then the next thing we see that he goes and he gets on his face, and the Bible says that he puts his face between his knees in a posture of prayer. And he says, God, it's time for it to rain. And he has a servant there, and he tells this servant, he says, go look for the cloud because it's about to rain. The Bible says that the servant comes back. Hey, Elijah, nothing's happened, man. It's just still real sunny. It's gotta be nice, but it's still real dry. Elijah, there's not a cloud. I thought you said it was gonna rain. There's not a cloud in the sky. Watch this. I love this. Because the servant came back and said, Elijah, there's nothing. And Elijah says, go again. So the servant goes and he's looking, he's waiting. Elijah's face is between his knees and he's crying out to God for rain. And the servant comes back and says, there's nothing. New American Standard puts that in quotations. There's nothing. And Elijah says, go again. So he goes back and he's looking, he's waiting. He comes back to Elijah. Dude, there's not a cloud in the sky. What are you doing? Go again. So he goes again and he says, come on, dude, like seriously. What do you do? Like, there's nothing. Elijah says, go again. Bubba says, seven times. He went, nothing. He went, nothing. Elijah says, go again. He went, there's nothing. Go again, there's nothing. Go again, there's nothing. Church, where's our persistence? Where is it to know, God, you heard me the first time? Place. Paul says the servant came back after the seventh time and said, dude, come on. Oh, Elijah, there's a small, I think it's a cloud. Maybe it's a bird. I'm not sure, but there's something coming, man. I believe it's just, the Bible says it's a small cloud. Amazing that he's praying on a promise that God gave him. Listen, you read 1 Kings 17, 1. God says, listen, it'll rain again when you pray. So he goes, 1 Kings 18, and he prays and nothing happens. And he prays, and now, God, you told me, I'm standing on your yes and amens. I'm standing on your promises. God, you told me. Go back again. We didn't see Elijah waver. Go back again. There's nothing. Go back again. Yeah, but there's nothing. Go back again. Says that it got dark and it just opened up. And it was a rain, man. It was a pouring rain. See what happens when you buy into the truth of the scripture, say, God, you hear me. It may not be my answer on the first time, it may not be my answer on the second time, it may not be answer the third time. You go down again and again, but I'm coming back because God, I'm not going to lose heart because I know that you hear me. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, where we pick it up next week, it says, be anxious for nothing. We could go row to row, person to person. Say, in the last 4 weeks, have you been worried or stressed about anything? In the last 3 weeks, in the last 2 weeks, in the last week, in the last 5 hours, have you been worried or stressed about anything? But yet, Paul writes to the church, listen, be anxious for nothing, for no thing. I'd love to be able to say, man, as your pastor, I'm so super spiritual and so super strong. I haven't had no stress, and I don't worry. Whoop! Not true. I look at this scripture myself and I'm like, are you kidding me? But it says, be anxious for no thing, for nothing, but in everything. Does God care about the little things? Does God care about you asking about the smallest things, about you just coming to him and saying, God, I'm amazed by you. I want to worship you. I want to cry out to you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, through prayer and supplication. There's a difference between prayer and supplication. Here it is. Here's the difference. Prayer is conversation. Prayer is me driving down the street saying, God, I love you. I'm amazed by you. Prayer is worship. Prayer is that time that we're just like in this place of giving thanks for who God is. Prayer is us just covering one another in prayer. That's prayer. And then you get to this amazing word, supplication. Now, when you dig deep into this word supplication, it has the idea of a mother crying out in pain for their child. It's painful praying. That's what supplication is. That you're going through something, or your son or daughter is going through something, or your marriage is going through something. And you come to this place and say, God, I don't want to be anxious about this. God, I don't want to stress about this. But in everything, God, even in my painful prayers, even in those prayers, I'm like, God, I don't know the outcome of this. God, I can't believe this report. I've walked in health, and all of a sudden this has shown up in my body. God, I've raised my kids to walk right with you. And God, look at this. Look at my son. Look at my daughter. God, look at where my marriage is. I never expected this to happen in my marriage. And it is this painful type of prayer that you just begin to cry out to God. And but no, he hears me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Just bow your heads. We'll close this thing out. You come to this place today. What kind of prayers are you praying? What were your prayers last night? Are you in that place of, God, you can hear me? Come on, God, are you even there? Where are you in this? God, where are you in this? God, hear my cry. Did you come to a place? God, is it true? Are you really interested in what I have to say? But in everything. But in everything. But in everything. I ask you this morning, do I find you praying? Have you prayed about it? I prayed about it last week once. Nothing happened. You know, I actually prayed about a month ago, but I didn't see nothing. What happens if, honestly, you're part of the 12 and you're standing before Jesus and Jesus says, listen, huddle up. Know this, that when you pray at all times. Know that I hear you. I love it. Know that I hear you. And do not lose heart. That's Jesus' story on prayer. Pray at all times and do not lose heart. Come again. Come back. Come again. Come back. Come again. Because you can hear this morning from a faithful God who says, I've heard you the first time, and I've heard you the second time, and I've heard you the third time. Church, what happens if you come to a place to just lean into that? Even this morning, you just lean in and say, God, you've heard me. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, it's a painful prayer. But I'm coming to you again, God. And I'm coming to you again. And I'm going to come to you again. I'm going to come to you again. God, heal my marriage. God, heal my sickness. God, heal my son. God, heal my daughter. I'll come again, God. And I'll come again, God. And I'll come again, God. Because I know you hear me. Because I know you hear my cry. I'm just asking you, church, that you come to this place to be reminded again today that he heard me. And he'll hear me again right now. And he'll hear me again tomorrow. And I'll come back, and I'll come back, and I'll come back, and I'll come back. Because I know he hears me. And there'll be that moment that I see that little cloud. There's that moment I'll see that little cloud. And I know the answer's coming. I know the answer's on its way. Oh God, I just ask in Jesus' name that we just come again in this moment. Whatever the heart of our cry is, God, you know it already. If it is that supplication prayer, if it's that prayer from that place of pain, if it's that mother's cry, oh God, in your timing, we want to see, God, we want to see that little cloud. To not just know that you've heard, but God, to believe the answer's on its way. No, the answer's on its way. And if you're in this place today, it's just such a good moment that you would just in your heart, would you just take a minute and go again to God? Whether it's for your marriage, for your husband, for your wife, whether it's for one of your children, whether it's a doctor's report, a sickness, God, that you'd hear us in this moment. Just as Elijah did, he sent somebody to go see the cloud, go find the cloud. We'll go back again. Keep looking. Go back again. Keep looking. It's coming. Go back again. Keep looking. It's coming. It's not, I don't see it. There's nothing. Go back again. It's coming. God, that we would be that we look for. Answer's coming. And in this moment, the moment of waiting, Lord, we're not going to lose heart. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, amen. Give God praise, please. Amen. Nice. Come on, invite somebody next week. We will dive into Philippians 4, 6, and 7 even more so next week. Lost time today, but man, it was not lost at all, man. Just powerful stuff. Thank you for sticking with us a little extra today in time. But I believe it's worth it. I believe it's worth it. Thank you for being a part of this church. Love you. Come on, next week we'll see you again. Come on, amen.